Morning, church. Hey, much like Jamie, I'm going to be nasally today because I'm just nasally all the time. So it's no worse probably, but I've had a little bit of the crud all week as well. Don't feel bad, but so I'll probably cough at some point today and it'll sound like I'm bringing stuff up from deep in my body. I'm really not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I know that this is the message you gave me, and I know that this is the message that you want, and somebody here needs to hear today, Lord, but just take me out of the equation, shut me down, and bring out what you want me to say, and just let everybody have ears that hear what you want them to hear today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So, yes, Julie texted me yesterday and said, hey, you got anything for the bulletin? I didn't make it Friday to do it. And I said, well, yes, I do, actually. And I don't know what's it even called. I don't. Let go of your grudge. Well, you know, last night I watched the Buckeyes play, and I was up till, I don't know, almost 1 o'clock watching all the recaps and all the guys talk, and God said, Matt, that's not the message I really want you to put out, and that's not the title I want you to use. So we're going to change it. It's going to be, don't grudge me. Okay, don't grudge me. Kind of play on words off of don't judge me. I hear that all the time at my house. You know, the girls will say, you know, to each other or to Chris, don't judge me. Because they're weird. Okay? We thought Shelby was weird. Lindsay's for sure weird, but Morgan is really weird. So, it is what it is. So I try not to judge. Because, man, I don't like it when they judge me. But, you know, during all the post-game stuff last night, Ryan Day, who I really like as a head coach, I really like his personality. But he's typically been a coach. He has a lot of coach speak in interviews. Doesn't ever give up what he's trying to do in the game plan. After the game, it's nothing but praise for the other team, you know. And to me, man, there's times when, can't we just say, yeah, we're pretty good? You know, like 2 weeks ago, they beat Youngstown State by 21, or I don't even know what it ended up. But after the game, and you know, they said, oh, Youngstown State really presented a lot of problems. Really? Come on, it's Youngstown State. You know, you can't just say, yeah, we're pretty good. Well, last night, they caught him on the field as he was walking off the field, which drives me nuts anyway, that they interview these guys at halftime and right after a game. because as a coach, man, that first few minutes after the game, you're kind of just taking that all in. Your emotions are running high. If you won, you want to celebrate with your players. If you lose, man, you just want to be left by yourself. Well, last night they won, and if anybody has this DVR'd and they haven't watched the game yet, I'm sorry, close your ears. They won, they scored a touchdown from the 1 yard line as time should have expired in the game. And they won 17-14. So, I mean, as you can imagine, it was pretty, everybody was celebrating. Players went nuts. Notre Dame, the Coliseum was just stunned. They were quiet. So they interviewed Day after game, and he was fired up. Because earlier in the week, Lou Holtz had said something. I don't know if you know who Lou Holtz is. He's 90 years old. He coached at Notre Dame for 11 years. Won a national title. He's maybe from Ohio. He always thought Ohio State would be his dream job. He was offered the Ohio State job one time, but he had just taken another job and didn't want to leave him behind. Lou Holtz is a pretty good dude. But he called Ohio State soft. He said they're not physical, they're not mean, they're not tough. They're kind of like just people you see in the window shops that really look good. But when you really get into them, they're not what they seem to be because they're not tough. And I'm telling you, Ryan Day must have took this personally because he was mad. And his point was, don't judge us. You're not there at practice. You're not there everywhere. And I thought, you know, that's pretty cool. I'd never seen him get that worked up, but it was pretty cool to see. I gained a little more respect for him because sometimes we see that polish during an interview. Nick, man, this dude's a robot. What he proved last night was he's a person, and he does, even though he says he doesn't read this stuff, he does read this stuff. And then I thought, Matt, what about you? And God's been working pretty hard on me because there's times when I may or may not hold a grudge. So I dug into this a little bit, and I'm going to give you the main passage we're going to use is Matthew 18. But we're going to skip around a little bit first because I want to see exactly, lay out exactly what the grudge is. Luke 6:36. And you don't have to turn. I'll read a few of these passages to you. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And then Colossians 3. We're going to read that passage here. And I thought maybe Les was going there when he read his opening passage this morning. Wasn't quite there. Colossians 3:12-17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So we're going to talk about that Colossians just for one second. Guys, and I've preached on it, I've talked about it. We need to understand, therefore, as God's chosen people, we have rights, responsibilities as God's chosen people. Okay? Holy and dearly loved. And I love how they use this next segment. This is, we should clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. And I know Les touched on it last week. It's here. Most of those words are in Galatians 22 or 5, 22, 23. But that's what the window shoppers should see when they look at Christians. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Excuse me. Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance. And that's what's going to lead me into where we're going today. Forgiveness is hard. I'm going to say it. Forgiveness is hard. But I want you to think of forgiveness in a different way. Because when we do something wrong to somebody, what's the first thing we say to them? I'm so sorry. Right? And what do we expect them to do? Forgive me. Right? Now put yourself on the other shoe. Somebody wrongs you. Man, we're not always going to forget it right away. But we need to forgive. Because then it leads to, if we don't, it leads to a grudge. And it's funny how it worked out. Jamie gave a devotion on envy. Another one. Man, if we carry that grudge, going to lead to a lot of different things, and envy is one of those things that we have to get rid of out of our lives so that we can get rid of grudges. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 18, and Jesus, when he was teaching and when he was out with the people, he was the smartest guy in the room. And we all know that. Sometimes he told stories, like when he was talking to his disciples, sometimes these dudes just didn't get it, right? So Jesus had to tell them, give them an example of how things should be. And they're called parables. Parables, nothing but a short story with a application for everyday life. So this is going to be the parable of the unmerciful servant. And in verse 21 it reads, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? You know, Peter's thinking he's being top-notch Christian by saying, oh, I'll forgive somebody seven times. You know, that's big of me, right? That's big of me. Again, we've talked about Peter. He's the overachiever. He's the guy that volunteered for everything. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then I have a footnote. And then it says, or 70 times seven times. I think we get stuck on the number, right? Because, you know, as parents, sometimes we say, you know, we do the same thing over and over and over. Our kids do the same thing over and over and over again. I get tired of forgiving them for doing it. That hits with me because we do that. And I think, man, is she ever going to learn? But then Jesus said, hey, dummy, remember I died on that cross for you, and yet you still do the same things you did last week. And then you come to me begging for forgiveness. And you still, I work with you, I teach you, and you still do the same thing. Guys, if you're a parent, you know sometimes it's frustrating. Jesus is our parent. Can you imagine how many times he just is like, what am I going to do with these people? What am I going to do with these people? Because Peter wants an answer. God, if I got to forgive somebody 10 times, I'll do it. He uses 7. I think the number is not there. I think it's we have to fully forgive people. It doesn't matter how many times. Because, guys, he died on the cross for you and I to cover every sin we will ever commit in our life, and he knew it when he hung there. So the up to 7 times, my other footnote says, this may be an allusion to the story of Jacob in Genesis 33:3. Jacob fell down before his brother 7 times when he asked for forgiveness. Jesus' answer, which could be translated 7 times 70, suggests that any set number missed the whole point of God's extensive mercy. He is not going to forgive us just a finite number of times. He sent his son to die so that that number is gone, and our lives is infinite with him in eternity. Verse 23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Now, 10,000 bags of gold. Anybody want to guess how much that is? We don't know how big the bags were. But in some research this week, I've learned, and I'm pretty comfortable with that fact, that in today's money, that 10,000 bags of gold is about $2.5 billion. Billion, with a B. So this guy owed him $2.5 billion, and he was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Verse 28. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Translated to today's time, $4,000. Okay? So, I'll recap. This guy got off forgiveness for $2.5 billion. But he had a guy that owed him $4,000. We'll read on. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked, wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Guys, it's plain. Jesus makes it virtually plain where we cannot stumble over that. You know, it's a neat story. It's a neat story, but that servant held that grudge against the person that owed him money. And that grudge ended up being his demise. Because he was already given, not just forgiven, but that debt was wiped clean of $2.5 billion. And, but he held that grudge against his other peer or his other friend. So that's how big grudges are. And sometimes I hold grudges, man. I can remember times when I was 20 years old, somebody did something to me, and sometimes it stirs up. That's always going to be a memory, right? Well, as long as my memory will last, which is not very long. But when I see that person out in public, I got no ill feelings at this point. That was 20 some years ago. Okay? But sometimes as Christians, man, every time something doesn't go our way, we do what? We drudge up the past. The only past we need to drudge up is right there. You know, forget about everything else because it doesn't matter. Well, Matt, I don't know. He still owes me $100 from 10 years ago. Listen. If somebody still owes you $100 from 10 years ago, you should have wrote that off a long time ago. Okay? And what drives me nuts is, as Christians, we are the worst fighters in the world, right? Because if we have a disagreement, what are we going to do, man? There's times when we drudge up every single comment, whether it's our spouse, our kids, our co-workers, whatever. Every single time we get into a disagreement, we drudge up every single thing that person's ever done to us to make us upset. And what good does it do? Zero. It doesn't change anything. Then you just have two people feeling miserable. Right? And Chris and I used to argue a little bit when we were younger. We don't argue a whole lot now. We converse now. Right? We don't have arguments now. And I can remember about every argument Chris and I have ever had. And when it got bad, it was because dummy would say something. Well, you remember that time you did that? Now, why? Why? Grudges don't do anything but make matters worse. If you got somebody in your life today that you're carrying a grudge for, my suggestion is, read this again, and read Colossians where it says, you're only going to be good if you love others as your Father loved you. And it's no attachments. He loves us from here to here. You ever wonder why he had to be crucified? You ever wonder why the cross is shaped like this? I don't know for sure. My interpretation of that is because when Jesus stretches his arms out, do we really know how big they are? Guys, he's going to take you in. He's taking you in his arms every single day. He's carrying you around. And he loves it. He loves it enough to die on the cross for you. But we're going to hold a grudge. I'm going to hold a grudge for somebody that owes, you know, said something bad about me 25 years ago, or 3 years ago, 5 years ago. It doesn't matter. So I don't know. Maybe I need to send this to Ryan Day and say, look, you need to forgive Lou Holtz for what he said. It's going to do you no good, brother. It's going to do you no good. Hold that grudge. I think he just exploded last night because out of raw emotion, and I think it's over and done with. But I think he'll use it as a teaching tool still. Guys, the teaching tool we need to use is your father loves you enough. He sent his son to live here for 30-some years on this earth, and the dude lived a sinless life. Anybody else in here today that's sinless? I hope not. If you are, you might as well get up and leave, because I'm not. Okay? I'm a broken sinner, and I need to be here, and I need to understand the full realm of Jesus' love. And I get closer and closer to understand that every single day. But it's because of the situation he puts me in. You know, I'm going to ask you today to pray for me this week, because I got this junk going on, and it woke me up in the middle of the night last night at 2 o'clock, and it was like somebody stuck a cactus right on the side of my neck. It was just prickly. It itches something fierce. I mean, I've said before, it might be leprosy. I don't know. It might be. I don't know. But it's gotten worse this week. I got a doctor's appointment this coming week. But man, I'm an itcher. And that goes along with carrying a grudge. If I got something that itches, I'm going to itch it. Okay? If I have a grudge with you, I'm going to approach it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to walk around it. We will have a conversation. And I think we all need to have a conversation with ourselves about letting go. You know, Jesus covered it already with his blood. When he was beaten, he was beaten profusely. I read a thing this week that, do we realize that he was beaten to the point that his flesh ripped off his body? It wasn't just scars. His flesh ripped off his body. You could see his bones while he was hanging on the cross for you. There is no problem in this world today that we deal with that's too big for him. Let go of your grudges. Let go of your fears. Let go of your worries. He can handle it. He still hung there on that cross and said, yeah, I'm going to wrap my arms around you. I'm going to do it. This much. He does it every day. He asks us, will you let me? Guys, let it go. Let him have it. Because if we keep it bottled up, and we keep stuff just inside, and we let it fester, you know what happens? We turn into a bunch of grudge holders. And if we're holding a grudge, we're not doing what that guy died on the cross for us to do. Because we can't experience his love fully if we're not pure of heart, pure of mind. So I'm done. I want you to understand, we got to let go of those grudges. And the sooner we can do that, the sooner we can experience God's full glory. So if you have somebody today that you need to let go of, a grudge, a problem, man, deal with it. Deal with it, because it's not going to do you any good to keep it inside and bottled up. Don't be like Ryan Day and explode. Go have a conversation with somebody. You know, I'd have loved for Ryan Day to have called Lou Holtz and personally talked to him, but he didn't. He went on national television and just blasted him. And I can appreciate the fire that they had, because it hurts when somebody does that to you. But guys, we gotta let it go. We gotta let it go. He let it go when he died on the cross. And he let it go. And this story of the, I mean, that's a really cool story. But we owe him way, way more than $2.5 billion. Because he gave up his life for us. Let it go and come to the cross. So we're going to offer a time of invitation. We're going to have Les and Jesse and I will be here. The praise team will be here. And we'll sing a song. And just if you need prayer, if you need guidance on how to let go of that grudge, we may or may not have the answers, but I guarantee you we're going to help you dig for them. We're going to go to prayer.